better one, bright and fair. Christ left to repair a mansion for his children in the end. I'll join him in that land where no sorrows can be found. When I receive a mansion, robe and crown, Lord, I want a, Lord, I want a brand new mansion, robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saints to your throne surround. Lord, please reserve for mansion, robe and crown. The weather there is always fair, there's sunshine day and night. No cold nor rain will fall there, for the sun shines ever bright. I'll need no heavy garments, I'll just wrap my robe around. When I receive a mansion, robe and crown, Lord, I want a, Lord, I want a brand new mansion, robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saints to your throne surround. Lord,
please reserve the mansion,
robe and crown. My head is bowed and bloody now from the work that I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, for there be no cause for a frown. When I receive a mansion, robe and crown, Lord, I want a, Lord, I want a brand new mansion, robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saints to your throne surround. Lord, please reserve for mansion, robe and crown. Just bass. Lord, I want a brand new mansion, robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saints to your throne surround. Lord, please reserve a mansion, rock. Bass, one more time. Lord, you know the brand new mansion, robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the three to your throne surround. Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe and crown. Now everybody. Lord, I want a forever. Please reserve a mountain. Please reserve a mansion, Lord. Let the church say,
amen.
Amen. Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe, and a crown. Isn't that all right? Isn't God good, you all? Oh, he's good all the time. He is good. It's good to be here this morning. I Appreciate so much your attendance this morning. Thank you, Danny, for just leading us in these songs. You know, Danny, it's funny, man. It's not funny. I think it's just providential that, you know, that I was singing that song, Heaven on the Other Side, just on Friday, man. Just on Friday, I was singing that, and I was thinking, man, you know, we haven't sang Heaven on the Other Side in a long time, and Danny broke out, Heaven on the Other Side. Hey, I'm like, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. Heaven is on the other side. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Are y'all happy about that? Aren't y'all glad about that? Aren't y'all glad we don't have to be down in this old crazy, crazy world forever? That this is not our home. We're just passing through. Aren't y'all glad about that? Yeah, I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to turn to your neighbor. And I want you to ask your neighbor a question and say it, and ask them, what is your story? Yeah. What's your story? What's your story? What's your story? Yeah, okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's good. That's good. We all have a story, don't we? Don't we, church? We all have a story, don't we? Brethren, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading at the verses 8 and through 10. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a story of a woman from a place called Shunem. And brethren, if you're really churchy, she's known as the Shunammite woman. If you're really churchy. Amen. Let's begin reading her story, beginning in 2 Kings chapter 4. And the verses 8 through 10. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, your translation may say a great woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there and eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. There must be more to the story. There's always, church, more to the story. When you hear somebody's story, you are actually hearing their side. But there's more to the story. Amen. We live in a world, brethren, that has confused snaps with a story. A snap is not a story. I don't have Snapchat, church. I'm not that cool yet. Amen. Pray for me, but I don't have that. I'm more Facebook. I know that's old school stuff. I know that, but we have Snapchat stories and we have Instagram stories and we have Facebook stories, but those aren't stories, church. Those are scenes, right? You can't judge the story by the scene. And sometimes, brethren, people will step into a scene of your life and they think they know the whole story, but the scene is not the story. A scene, Joseph, at one point in his life, I'm in Old Testament in the book of Genesis, he would have been in a pit. And if you would have seen Joseph at one point in his life, he would have been in a prison. But if you would have seen Joseph at another point in his life, that was the culmination. You would have saw him in that prison But then you have the culmination, brethren, of his story, and he was in a palace saving many lives. Some of you all need to know today, brethren, that the scene you're in today is not your story. Amen. It's not your destination. It's just a layover. Don't stop the story just because you don't like the scene. Right? It's the power, brethren, of a full circle moment. It's the power of staying with the story, even if you don't like the scene. The scene, brethren, is not the story. I don't mean to mess up your precious moment of nativity, but Jesus did not remain in a manger. Amen? That's the scene, but it's not the story. He grew up in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and favor with men, and he opened blinded eyes, and he caused the lame to walk, and deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. He talked with authorities unlike the teachers of the law, and they hung him on a cross, but that's not the story. That's a scene, church, because early one Sunday morning, Jesus got up out of the grave. There's more to the story. The head that was once crowned, brethren, with thorns is crowned with glory now. And there's more to the story. And I'm convinced, brethren, that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us, church. When God gets done writing my story, brethren, I'll see the goodness of the Lord. You can't get to a resurrection, brethren, without a crucifixion. Everybody's story starts somewhere, right? So in 2 Kings chapter 4, this woman is a wealthy woman. She said to her husband, let's build him a room now. Her intention, brethren, was to do something to make an impact, to be a blessing. Her heart was, I know this is a man of God. This is where I hear the word of God from. And this is an important decision. She made him a meal one day. And this is the story. It started so small. She made him a tuna casserole. Amen. I'm trying to get you in the story. But she made that casserole. And he said, that sure is some good cooking. You sure can cook, Shunammite woman. You know, that's what he told a woman. He said, you know what? I'll be back. I'll be back. And he was back. And he kept coming back so much that she said to her husband, I think we ought to build this guy a room, another story. Amen. She wasn't just building a room, brethren. She was starting a story. So they built this room. And she cooked a meal, and she started a story. And she had no idea what kind of story she was stepping into. She thought she was doing something nice for God. God was just looking for a way to do something for this woman. There's more to the story. She had a nice house, brethren. She had a big bank account. She drove a BC Road Ranger. I was here. BC Road Ranger. Somebody got that finally. You got that done. Yeah. But she has a barren womb. All right? Now, brother, there's more to the story. Stuff does not tell the whole story. You can be very beautiful and very barren. You can be extremely loaded, brethren, and very empty. There's more to the story than what you wear. There's more to the story than what you weigh. There's more to the story than the neighborhood that your kids are growing up in. Some of the weirdest kids grow up in the nicest neighborhoods. There's more, brethren, to the story. Elisha laid down to sleep one night in his comfortable bed that the Shunammite woman had just built for him. And Elisha is thinking, what can I do for her? And she was thinking, what can I do for him? And he's thinking, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, and pressed down, shaken together, running over. Her initiative, brethren, met God's initiative, and Elisha called the Shunammite woman in. Now, brethren, what I can't figure out is why he did not talk directly to this woman. He had his servant Gehazi speak to her right there in the doorway. Read your story. The Bible says, watch this. The Bible says in verses 11 through 13, and it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. He comes to the Shunammite woman's home. He goes to the upper room. He goes to the other story, brethren. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her. Now that puzzled me. He calls this woman in. She's standing at the doorway, and he tells his servant, you say this to this woman. Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. He said, hey, what can I do for you? And she said, I don't have a list because my God is not a Santa Claus. Amen. She didn't have to give so that she could get, brethren. She had a mentality that whatever I get, I want to give it to God because everything I have is a gift from God. Why wouldn't I give it back to him? She said to the servant, I'm fine. I'm good. She was fine on the outside, brethren, but she was never able to have a child. See, brethren, the story did not start in 2 Kings chapter 4. The story started years before that. How many times did this woman try to have a baby? How many times, brethren, has she bought a pregnancy test just to see the negative results time after time after time? Elisha said, next time you get a pregnancy test, buy some blue paint. And she says, why? You don't like the color of your room? He said, no, you're not going to be painting my room. About this time next year, you're going to have a baby boy. And she did, and that's the story, because God keeps his promises. I guess, brethren, that's why we like this story so much, because when she made a room for God, God did something in her that she could not do for herself. That's the story. Well, there's more to the story. That baby grew up to be a young boy. And church, when the boy was out in the field one day, according to verse 19, the boy told his father that he had a headache. And he was acting real strange, brethren. And her son collapsed in the field. And his father did what all good fathers do, brethren. He told one of his servants, take him to her mother. Amen. Take him to his mother. That's what we do. That's a good father, isn't it? Yeah, go to your mama. Yeah, she'll fix you up. Isn't that what we do, guys? Yeah, and brother, so they brought her child to her, and the child died on her lap. Sometimes, church, even the dreams that God births will die. Now, she has a decision to make. Is this a scene or is this the story? She decided, brethren, that she would take it back to the place where the promise was originally conceived. She went back upstairs to that empty guest room. And that story, brethren, that second story, she laid that child, that dead child, on that bed. And she went to get Elisha. She knew what to do, brethren. See, when you get stuck in a scene, you go back to the one who started the story with you to begin with. And she found him and she fell at his feet. And Gehazi, the servant, brethren, wanted to push her away, but she was persistent. And the story, brethren, can't end like this. She summoned the man of God and she insisted that he come back with her. And he went in and he closed the door and he laid his body on the boy's body. And the first time, nothing happened. The second time, church, the boy started to sneeze. And he sneezed 7 times and he got up and lived. That's the story. It's a good story, church, because it lets you know that whatever it is that's buried in your life can still come forth. And whatever dies in your life, brethren, can come alive with one word from God. But then there's a second half of the story in chapter 8. Go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Can I show you the rest of this story? Chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life." Now watch this, brethren. The woman can't call her the woman whose son he had brought back to life if the son had never died. Amen. Some of the worst scenes, brethren, make the best story. Some things God has to let you go through. So when he brings it back around, brethren, you have a story to tell. There was a famine in the land. And in chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, "Arise," Elisha tells her, "arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord is called for a famine." The Lord, brethren, called for a famine. I thought God sent the rain. The same God, brethren, who sent the rain is the same God who will often allow you to go through a famine. Amen. That's how he builds your faith, brethren. We tell you God will bless you and God will bless you, but at the same time, God would allow you to carry the blessing, will allow you also to carry the burden. How else can you become strong enough, brethren, to take it? How else can you become humble? There's more to the story than God will bless you. Yes, he will bless you. He'll bless you in a time of rain. He'll bless you in a time of famine. He'll bless you when the economy is up. He'll bless you, brethren, when the economy is down. He'll bless you, brethren, when your friends love you. He'll bless you when your friends leave you. And the miracle is not that God prevented the famine, but he provided for her through the famine. Watch this. Verse 2, chapter 8. "So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. She went where God told her to go, but while she was gone, brethren, they confiscated her land. The Bible says in verse 3, it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Brethren, I love this woman's initiative. Brethren, come over to my house and eat something. Heal the boy that you told me to have in the first place. I'm going straight to the king. I'm going to walk past all of the people who can't do anything about it. I'm going right into the king's court to see about getting her land back. Maybe you need this morning, brethren, to come to the king to see about getting your joy back. Amen. Maybe you need to come to the king this morning to see about getting your peace back. How about see about getting your dreams back and your passion back? Who am I preaching to this morning? Somebody need to come to the king this morning and say, Lord, I need my love for you back. Right? So she says in verse 4, then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, watch this, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. The king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. Watch the timing of God. Verse 5. Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. Church, her need collided with God's provision, and her past collided with her future at just the right time. And Gehazi said, wait a minute, I think that's her. Is who? That's the woman I'm talking about right now. The woman who made the casserole and built the room. She had the son on her lap and he died. And I tried to push her away, but Elisha went to her house. And I don't know what he did when he went into the room because I wasn't in there. But when he came out with the boy. And the boy was breathing. And I think that's her. Because I haven't seen her in 7 years. But I think that's her. In a full circle moment, brethren, the woman walks in. And what she did in chapter 4 is waiting for her in chapter 8. Come on, church. Made a meal. Built a room. Had a son. Lost a son, had a son, brought him back to life, left town, came back, saw the king, walked in. Gehazi said, that's her. That's her. I'm telling you, I recognize her anywhere. She walked in, brethren, while Gehazi was telling her story, and God's story met her story, and her story met his story, and it's all came about full circle. Now, brethren, now if the son had not died, would the story even exist? Gehazi, brethren, is not going to tell the king about a woman who had a baby Lots of women have babies, but it's the fact that she lost the baby that made her story worth telling, brethren. It was the fact that she couldn't have the baby that made its birth miraculous. It was a scene that she would have chosen to skip that brought her to this place. How many know that God is working all things together for your good, brethren? Am I right? I may not see it, church. I may not feel it. I may not know the story right now, but God is telling my story. I'm not staying on the cross. I'm not staying in the pit, brethren. I'm not staying in the grave. I'm barren now, but God promised to bless me. And the king looked at that woman, brethren, and the woman looked at Gehazi, and the king says, is that true? You know what's so cool? She didn't have to convince the king of her miracle because her miracle was standing right beside her. As she walked in, brethren, with that boy, the king asked her, and she told him, she says, this is my story. Watch verse 6. When the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. The king said, not only are you going to give her back all of her land, there's more to the story. You're going to repay it with interest. Won't God do it, somebody?
Amen.
Won't he do it, brethren? You got a story to tell. What story will you tell, brethren? We as a church have a story to tell. Brethren, I got a story to tell. I tell you, brethren, and I got to tell the story because the story must be told. This is our church, brethren. He lived, he died, he rose. Tell it. She had a story and we got a story. One day, he got me up when I was walking down a path that I should not been walking down, brethren, and he picked me up. I got a story. I'm not always been here, but I got a story. God's grace and God's mercy. He'll do it every time, brethren. So don't get confused and befuddled in your scene. You may not like your scene right now, but keep on holding on because that ain't your story. That makes sense? She says, here's my miracle. Somebody looking for one this morning? What's your story? Well, I didn't get the job that I was trying to get. That ain't your story. That's your scene. Well, kids not acting right. That ain't your story. That's your scene. Doctor gave me a bad report. That ain't your story. That's your scene. Y'all see this? And we get rattled, brethren. We get rattled in our scene. And God says, for we know all things work to the good to those who love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? Now, I know it doesn't look good now. Do you believe that? I know it doesn't feel good now. Do you believe that? God's got a story. Stay with him. Don't give up. Don't leave him. If you're here this morning, and I don't know who this message is for this morning, the Lord just put it on my heart because it's an awesome story. If you don't know the Lord this morning, he brought you here this morning for a reason. He wants to be in your story. Come to him, broken, empty, seeking him while he can be found. By faith, brethren, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He got up out of that grave. He now sits on the right hand of God. Willing to repent of your sins, confessing before men. If you believe he is, and you want to turn your life around by giving your life to him, be willing to be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Come to him and let him begin your story. On the other hand, if you're a child of God and you're in a scene right now, hang in there because it's not your story. If you need him, he'll come to you in his time. What's your story?